Hello, Fightful Fightful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulowski, and everything sucks. Well, it's that time of year again. Wrestleback Mania last time. We'll do some predictions of that later. Probably end the show doing some other talk about other stuff only tangentially related to wrestling surrounding the Sami Zayn stuff. And the everything sucks portion of the end of the show will be pretty sucky. But let's talk about SmackDown, which had all the makings of a very not sucky show. Everything having to do with the Roman Reigns and the Usos storyline, Cesaro being a part of it, it's all great. Everything. It's all great. And they have literally so many directions they can go. I'm going to probably delve into a couple of them on this show, possibilities where they can take this storyline with now that Jimmy's involved. So that's great. And everything else on SmackDown is varying degrees of like meh to decent, except for the fact that it's not. Anytime WWE does something good, like the in-ring work is stellar, there'll be some shitty, stupid finish that is completely... It tries to protect everybody and ends up just being bleh. Or they'll book something inexplicable considering what the post-match angle is. Shit like that. They're tropes, they're cliches, they've become so addicted to them that they feel like they have to use them every week. And it ends up screwing up some of the better stuff they do on the show. Plus, there were 4 matches on a 2-hour show, and they weren't all 20 minutes long. I know it's the go-home show, but, like, I don't know. Just felt... Like the best thing they did last night. The best thing they did last night, honestly. Not best, most impactful thing they did last night was put the tag titles on Natty and Tamina. Which is impactful, I think, in the wrong way. But let's talk about SmackDown. Hold on one second. Hold on. So Jay says that Jimmy disrespected the head of the table. So now we got to handle some family business, and here comes Roman Reigns. So then we get a video package. It's a long ass video package. And then Ray's like, "We got some problems." She says to Jimmy. Reigns, Roman says to Jimmy, "We got some problems. One of them is your brother. We'll get to him in a minute. But how about Cesaro?" I like Cesaro. This is such a great promo by Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns has somehow low-key become one of the best promos in the country, in the company, if not all of wrestling. He's just so damn natural. And he's got that great delivery of like a villain in like a mob movie or a TV show where like he seems like he's got it together, you know? And like, I mean, you understand, we got a problem. I mean, we're going to handle it. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Hey, listen, I said, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. All right, cool. And the whole time you go, it's not cool. He's totally going to murder that guy. He's totally going to murder that guy. He's got that thing about him where he's trying to convince you that he doesn't want to kill you, and you know he's totally going to kill you. That thing is really compelling. There's a reason why they do that kind of stuff with villains in a lot of movies and TV shows. It builds suspense. So I love that he's able to put over Cesaro while not putting over Cesaro. Like he says, you know, a lot of the guys in the back, I respect Cesaro. He's a top tier talent. We could say Cesaro's one of the best wrestlers in the world. And Paul's like one of. But I'm so much more than a wrestler. Which is fucking true. Like he does everything. Like Cesaro is a number one in the ring. Like one of the best ever. But he doesn't do some of the other stuff that you need him to do to be on the top. He just doesn't. I'm not saying he can't. I'm saying he doesn't right now. They're not letting him do it. And we'll talk about, Jesus fucking Christ, how they ruin this thing before it even gets started. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. It's so bad. We'll get to it in a second. I'm the tribal chief. I'm the guy who holds everything together. There's no way Cesaro could fulfill those roles. There's no way WWE and Fox would want Cesaro to be in this position. No. So then he talks about Jimmy. And then Jimmy kind of interrupts almost immediately and comes down. He's like, he's got a shirt that says nobody's bitch. And I don't know. I don't know. Like, if you don't take offense to this, that's fine. It's just a weird thing to be like, it's not that bad of a word, right? But still, like, if you heard your son calling your daughter a bitch, like, and they were kids, like, old enough to read the shirt, you know what I mean? Not toddlers. Kids, they're not in high school. They're kids, like 8, 9, 10 years old. And your son called your daughter a bitch. I hope you'd say, hey, that's not nice. We don't say that. Well, they do on WWE. We watch that together every Friday. So if that's a bad word, why do they say it on television? Dad, mom? Well, there you go. I mean, I guess it's not all for kids. I understand. I don't want the whole thing to be for kids. There's ways of it not being for kids while still being safe for child consumption. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. It's just a stupid thing. There's other ways of saying nobody's bitch. You know? I guess you could say, I'm not a pussy. That would be really bad. If you said that on a shirt, would that be okay? If Jimmy Uso's catchphrase isn't "I'm nobody's bitch," his new catchphrase was "I'm not a pussy." Would that be okay? Would that be a thing you would put on a shirt? I mean, not even taking into account the whole like barely veiled demeaning thing towards women. I mean, what? It's WWE. Fuck it, right? Who cares? They don't care. They don't care. What? Fuck them. That's why. Anyway, I'm honestly not surprised by it. It's just, I'm not even that offended by it. It's just when I saw him wearing the shirt, I was like, oh, really? We're doing that? Okay, fine. It, WWE, man. Reigns runs his mouth and his brother, you know, stands like acting like his bitch. My brother is your bitch. I'm not your bitch. Bitchity, bitchity, bitch, bitch. I'm not a bitch. You're a bitch. And you act like he's your bitch, but I'm not your bitch. Bitchity, bitchity, bitch, bitch. There's a lot of bitch involved. I know that's what all the women in WWE call each other to get a rise out of the audience. You're a bitch. I'm not a bitch. You're a bitch. It's just a fucking word now. It doesn't have any fucking meaning to it. It's just there to make go, ooh. If you like my shirt, he says to Jay, I got one for you too when you're ready to hop on the team. They're selling the shirt, guys. Nobody's bitch with like, and then as in the back, Jimmy. And I'm pretty sure, hold on, I want to make sure about this. I'm pretty sure they're selling a shirt that says, nobody's bitch, and it has Jay on the back, which would kind of telegraph the fact that he's leaving Roman, if that's the case. Because I know I saw a shirt that was that had Jimmy and Jay, like I ever had on Twitter. Hold on. Come on. Give it to me. Let's see it. They were promoting the shirt during the show last night. And they do a lot of tweets. But anyway, I hope that's not the case. I hope they're not putting the shirt out there that says nobody's bitch and has Jay on the back. Because then it kind of belies. Now we know what's going to happen. Let's not do that, guys. But yeah, I'm fine with all of this. Ultimately, I love that. Like, there's a thing about like Jimmy wants to join. He wants to be a part of this thing that Roman and Jay have got going on, but he's gonna be on an equal footing. He's not going to be a subservient, submissive to Roman. And that's good. I appreciate that. He's like, well, wouldn't it be great if he was the Universal Champion and we were the tag champions? We'd run this whole thing. We'd all be together, like working together as a team, as opposed to working for that guy. I think that's really great. And I appreciate that he says, Ranger, you think you can fill my shoes? You think you can beat Cesaro? Do you think that I can't beat Cesaro? And Jimmy's like, yeah, I don't think you can beat Cesaro. Now that you're asking, I don't think you can do it. Well, do you think you can? Listen, I'm just saying, I think that me and Jay can fill your shoes together, the two of us. We can be tag champs and be just as important as you. What happens if you lose the Universal Championship, but we become tag champions? Are we above you? Are we the head of the table then? That's not how it works. He gets really upset. I appreciate it. He says, if you think you can beat Cesaro, then why don't you do it? Beat him. And so Jimmy calls out Cesaro really over the top. I've been out for a year, but I want this match. Come on. And then he looks over at Reigns like, did I do okay? Did I do good? It was really good. Jay has been so great in this role, kind of alternately tormented and enraged. I like that. But Jimmy is like, I think Jimmy was always like the talker of the two of them. So he gets to be out here talking trash, talking shit to his cousin. And it feels different. It's always going to feel a little different than Jay. And I like that a lot. It adds a whole different thing. Cesaro comes out and he's in a suit. And he says, sure. Well, I'll wrestle you. Hey, Roman, I'm going to beat your cousin. And then Sunday I'm gonna beat you for the Universal title. And then he leaves, which is fine. That's kind of what I expect him to say. Good. So it's the I never look at the chat, guys. When I'm doing the actual thing, I'm looking at now, and I got JS Brown here saying that the Nobody's Bitch shirts featuring both Jimmy and Jay are for sale at the WWE shop website. And that's fucking stupid. You got a shirt that says nobody's bitch with J written on the back. Doesn't that kind of telegraph that Jay's breaking away from Roman to join the to join forces with his brother, which I always thought was like where we were probably headed eventually, but like I was thinking like the fall. Like you gotta have a run where all three of them are together working as one. I don't know. We'll see where that all goes. Where it's going right now is Nat and Tamina are champions. And it's just so great. Super heartwarming. You know, because Natalya, she's been a 2-time women's champion. But other than that, she's just been... she's been an afterthought, and you know, you guys know one time the internet said she was only worth a dollar. It was the most disrespectful thing that's ever happened to anybody ever in the history of the world. I mean, the fact that she was able to overcome that using only her notes app, it's really inspiring. Also, Tamina has never won a championship ever, except for the fact that she has. So they like never won a major championship. If you're going to have Tamina pin R-Truth to become 24/7 champion for like a day, was it even a day? If you're going to do that, you better make sure it's not her first title ever. So you can't do the thing later where, oh my God, this is her first title ever. Except no, it's not. We're not going to talk about that thing. Weird. So this thing is structured mostly around Nia hitting a Samoan drop on Tamina into the barricade, and Tamina taking a nap on the outside. She can't move. So it's basically Natalya 1-on-2. And then Tamina finally gets in, runs roughshod. And is able to, Shayna's able to tag in Nia. Natty hits a German suplex on Shayna on the outside. Nia is in the ring, and like Natty comes in to try and fight her. So Nia hits a Samoan drop on Natty and just lays there for what seems like a goddamn year before Tamina does her terrible, terrible superfly sploosh and gets the 1-2-3. I'm so glad that at least they did the storytelling thing of Tamina getting one up on Nia, her cousin, or whatever the fuck they're decided to be this week. I really wish that the judge hadn't found that Jimmy Snuka was unfit to stand trial for the murder of that woman in 1983, his girlfriend, or at least manslaughter. I mean, maybe he didn't mean to beat her to death, but he beat her to death, and then he lied about it. And Vince McMahon helped him cover it up. And every time they refer to him as like this legend who's so awesome and isn't great that his daughter is doing stuff, it kind of makes my skin crawl because he's a horrible fucking murderer who got away with it for years. Lied about it. And then because he may have had dementia, the judge's like, well, we can't force him to stand trial. So there was nothing that happened. No, there was no closure for the family of that girl that he murdered. He totally fucking did that shit. Like, he didn't do that shit because he was never convicted in a court of law. But then again, like, neither was OJ. So, it's just a weird thing that they get to, like, say, oh, how wonderful, the daughter of the amazing, totally innocent of murder, Jimmy Snuka. How heartwarming it is that she's won her title. And I'm not blaming her for her dad being a murderer, considering her dad was cheating on her mom with the girl that that he murdered. So probably, like, wasn't her choice for him to murder that girl. You know, probably wasn't, like, her thing. Like, hey, Dad, I think you should go murder that girl. I don't think she said that, so it's not, like, her fault. But she also, like, has been in WWE for 10 years and, like, hasn't gotten good. And it's kind of coasted on the fact that she was, like, that guy's daughter. Even to the point that she does his finishing move badly. So, how heartwarming. Super heartwarming. Gosh, it's so heartwarming. Oh, my heart, so warm. Now that we've all got our hearts warm, can we take the titles off of Natty and Tamina as soon as fucking possible? Like, I don't know how we do that, considering you booked them as a tag team. You made them start coming out as a tag team, and they were super heels. Like, they were beating the shit out of Bianca Belair, who could not have been a bigger babyface, right? Like, they were absolute fucking heels until you were like, wait a minute, maybe we can do this heartwarming bullshit. Because nobody remembers how her dad murdered a girl. So it'll be heartwarming. We can put the titles on him. It'll be heartwarming. So you turn a babyface, like, out of the blue for no fucking reason, just because. And now they're babyfaces, and you don't have, like, heels out there who aren't Shayna and Nia, which to me, like, why Shayna and Nia are going to get several rematches. I had somebody say, oh, isn't it, this is a good thing, because now Shayna is not tied to Nia at all. I'm like, did they break them up and I wasn't watching? Like, there was no, like, as far as I know, there wasn't even, like, an interview with them. They were, like, where they were, like, angry with each other that they lost the titles or whatever. It'd be great if they could get Nia away from Shayna. But here's the thing. You know what they're actually planning is to get Shayna away from Nia. Like, to have Nia squash Shayna and become the biggest badass ever. And then Shayna can fade into the black and fade into the back and never be used again. Because that's how they do things. They value the wrong people. What I would do is have Shayna kayfabe break Nia's arm because she's so pissed that Nia fucked everything up. Nia's stupid boyfriend, Reginald, keeps screwing everything up for them, their rematch or whatever. And so she breaks his leg. So he can't jump around anymore because he's working fucking crutches, and then maybe he wouldn't be on TV anymore. Wouldn't that be nice? Like in kayfabe, and then Nia sticks up for her man. And so, Shayna breaks her arm in kayfabe, and then Shayna can walk up to Bianca and be like, hey, I want that title. Remember in NXT how you had all those shots at me and you could never beat me? Well, guess what? You still can't. I want that title. And Bianca's like, excuse me, I beat you since I've been on SmackDown. It's like, I'm sorry, was that for the title? Says Shayna. Was that for a title? Did you ever beat me for a title? Was the title on the line? Because I got to tell you, like, they're lucky they can get me to show up for work if there's not a title on the line. That's all I'm here for. I'm a prize fighter. I fight for prizes. I want that belt you're wearing, Bianca. And if I have to hurt you to get it, I will. That's great. Do that. Do make Shayna that. That's what Shayna should have been this whole fucking time. You debuted her by having her bite Becky in the back of the neck. which still doesn't make any fucking sense. But then you had her run through the entire Elimination Chamber by herself. You made her into a goddamn, like, murder machine. And then, whoopsie-daisy, she got pinned by Becky Lynch doing the flip-back thingy that always works on Shayna. Because you can't think of anything else. And since then, like, she's been a champion with Nia, but, like, every non-title match she loses. Which is why I think the whole, like, they lucky they can get me to get out of bed without there's not a title out of line. When there's not a title on the line. I think that works so much because she doesn't give a shit if she loses, if it's not a title match. If it's a title match, yeah, I care. If there's something on the line, I care. But if there's nothing on the line, what the fuck do I care? Wins and losses don't matter. This has been proven. Like that'll, I think that would help help to kind of salvage the terrible booking that they've had of Shayna over the past forever. So they get to have their little very heartwarming speech afterwards. This is for anyone who feel like their dream has passed them by. It's never too late to fight for your dreams. So proud of you, Tamina. Barf. I'm sorry. I don't. I. You're never gonna get me to care about Natty and Tamina, ever. Just never gonna do that. It's me. I'm sure it's only me. Everybody else loves Natty and Tamina. Everyone's so enthralled by Natty and Tamina. We're so excited to have Natty and Tamina on both brands, floating back and forth, defending the titles in really great high impact matches. You know. Can't wait for that super awesome Natty and Tamina versus Mandy and Dana match. Won't that be enthralling? Anyway, so there is a ceremony in the middle of the ring where Apollo is going to give Dabakato in a fucking jacket. He's going to give him the Nigerian Medal of Honor, which is a thing you can just do in the Thunderdome in Tampa, Florida. Apparently it's not, it has nothing to do with actual, with Nigeria or anything, nothing to do with any of that. So it's just a thing you can do. I guess it's the Nigerian anthem playing in the background, and Apollo's like talking over it the whole time. So, he's blah, 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 blah. This is so funny. It's such a WWE, trope. I am the heel champion that everybody hates. Everyone, just so everybody knows, I'm going to be out in the middle of the ring doing something that I find very important and very self-important. And if anybody were to interrupt that, it would make me very angry. And one way you can absolutely get my goat is to interrupt this thing I'm doing in the ring. So nobody better interrupt this thing I'm doing in the ring. And of course, like, eight people interrupt the thing he's doing in the ring. It's just, there was no way this was ever going to happen without somebody interrupting it. Which I guess is fine, except for it's not. It's just such a, like, okay, so when did they come out? When did the people come out? So he puts the medal around Aziz. Aziz is like standing on some steps or something, a platform. He's very, very tall. Cruz has to like reach up to put it over his neck when he bends over. But the Big E interrupts on the big screen. He taunts them. He's like, I'm going to take my title back. He says some funny stuff, but it's all kind of who cares? And then Sami Zayn comes out and he wants a title match as well. And Cruz is very angry. How dare not one but two people interrupt? One person on the Titantron and another person in person? This is highly irregular, and I'm very upset about it. Just hear me out. I like a title match. Not right now. Okay, fine. And then Owens just comes out and rushes the ring to attack Apollo Crews and Aziz. Tevin Owens took the time on his Talking Smack appearance last week to talk about how if Cesaro can't get the job done, can't win the title, then I'm coming back for it, Paul. I'm going to win the Money in the Bank match, and I'm going to come after Roman, which, by the way, I can't think of anybody better than Kevin Owens to be the Money in the Bank title winner, the briefcase holder. Because even as a babyface, you know he's going to be an opportunist. And here's the thing. The briefcase is the perfect way to turn Owens heel again if you want to. You just have him cash it in on the babyface. Because he can do it on either show. You made sure like that was a big deal. Like you kept on saying that about The Miz. He could have cashed it in on anybody he wanted to. So you have him, if there's a babyface champion on Raw, well, I don't know that it's going to be. Seems like Bobby Lashley's going to be champion for a while. But if there's a babyface champion on Raw, having gone the distance with Bobby Lashley and somehow coming out on top, oh gosh, what a wonderful thing it is this babyface has won. And then you hear Owens' music and he comes out and cashes in on that guy. It just beats the piss out of him, like power bombs him on the stage a few times, then is able to cash in and win. I say stage, I meant apron. What a great simple way to make Kevin Owens the guy that we hate again. Not that I'm saying I want that for Kevin Owens. I'm saying that's options for him. Anyway, so after saying all that about wanting to get back in the Universal title picture or to win the Money in the Bank contract, he's like, I'm going to wordlessly run out and attack the champion, the IC champion, because, you know, he knows he's getting put in a match. And I guess he didn't want to have a promo because he knows the trope of the interrupting promo parade is just too much to handle. So he says, how about a brawl instead? Because that's also a trope. He attacks Cruz and Aziz, but they attack him. The Big E comes down, and he goes for Aziz. And so then Big E's able to duck the Nigerian nail, and Aziz goes to the floor. And then Owens accidentally super kicks Big E because he was going for Cruz. Sammy and Owens go at it, but he misses his Luva kick, and Owens hits him with a stunner. Big E gets up and hits the big ending because you super kicked me. I don't care if it was by mistake. And then Big E's going to hit the move on Cruz, but Cruz gets pulled to safety by Aziz. So Big E stands tall. Later, Cruz is pissed off and he goes to see Adam Pearce. Adam Pearce is in there with Sonya Deville. And Sonya Deville like says, hey, you know what? You better watch out, Apollo, because Adam Pearce, he might do that thing that he likes to do, you know, by putting everybody in a triple threat match like he did with Bobby and Braun and Daniel and Edge. And, you know, put everybody in multi-man matches. And so Adam Pearce is like, yeah, that is something I might do. How about this? Next week, you defend the title in a fatal four-way with you, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Big E. Next week on SmackDown. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, isn't there a fucking pay-per-view like in 2 days? What's on the pay-per-view? I looked it up. There are six matches. There are six matches. I mean, one's going to get added to the pre-show. There are six matches on the whole card. There isn't like a giant elimination match or anything. It's just a couple of triple threats. Tag title match on SmackDown. The two title matches from SmackDown, two single style matches from SmackDown, and then the Lumberjack match, which, like, wouldn't you personally rather see, if you were watching a pay-per-view, were like, I'm going to spend my time, I want to get my money's worth out of my Peacock subscription. I want to get my money's worth out of my subscription to the cock. What would I rather see on the cock? A Intercontinental title fatal four-way match between Cruz and Big E and Owens and Zayn, or Damian Priest beating The Miz in a lumberjack match that I probably would turn off if it was on Raw. I don't understand what the fuck they're doing. But okay, great. I mean, at least that makes SmackDown worth watching next week, I suppose. They got nothing else to do? Ray versus Ziggler was supposed to happen last week, but Dominic made the mistake of wearing his gear to the ring, even though he wasn't scheduled to compete. So that was why that they had to have the match with Dominic in it, unfortunately. And Ray versus Dolph Ziggler happens last night instead of last week. And it's actually pretty good. Like, Ray and Dolph look really, really well together. There's some really good spots in it. There's a missed 619 into a Famouser that's fun. And after a really great, like, decently long match, Ray just a little roll up. Just a roll up. Yeah, I'm going to roll it up. Little fruit roll-up. I hate roll-ups. Like, you gotta, like, there's gotta be like a counter versus a counter versus a counter. There's gonna be like two guys who cannot beat each other, except one guy's gotta like figure out a way to like outsmart the other one. Just have Ray pin Dolph. Just have him, like, but better yet, don't, because I fucking hate that shit. But like, if you gotta have this match, A, don't have match. But if you gotta have this match, the two tag teams are feuding over the title. Let's have one guy from each team have a match before the pay-per-view, so you can't wait to see the pay-per-view. Like, I don't know, man. I'm so done with that. I'm over. Fight that I ostensibly am paying extra money, like, outside of my cable bill. I know it's like Peacock, it's like $5 a month or whatever the fuck, but you get my meaning, right? Like, back in the old days when shit was like cost money for the pay-per-view, they were like, well, we better give them their money or they're not going to buy the next one. Now it's like, who cares? So we'll just do everything on the TV. I guess that's just the way it works now, and I'm old. But I always want things to like, man, I can't wait to see them get their hands on each other for the first time. So a lot of these spots that they do in the match last night, you can figure out a way to work those spots in to the tag title match on Sunday. It's a really shitty little counter to a scoop slam. Like, that's a really, after all that, after that match, that's what you get. That's what you got for me. Bah, bleh, bleh. Don't like it. At least, Mr. Zood of Wriggler and Zood, kneel before Zood. He's just sitting outside wearing his street clothes. And so is Dominic, thank God. That means we don't have to watch him wrestle. But unfortunately, we have to hear him cut a promo. I mean, not really, but they get accosted backstage by Riggler and Zood, who were like, "Ah, cute. You know, you guys got to win." But it doesn't matter, because on Sunday the titles are on the line, and then we're gonna beat you, because you, kid, you don't belong in the ring. You're nothing. You're a baby. You're a baby, and oh, what a baby. And then Dominic like struggles to get a few sentences out. He opens his mouth and just yawns, the opposite of charisma. You guys like to call me names, and that's right, but you're going to be calling me something different come Sunday. That's right. You're going to be calling me Baby Champ. And then Ray looks up at his son like, Baby Champ. That's it. And apologies to Mr. Warren Hayes, who I stole this from, but... Baby champ, do 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 do. Baby champ, do 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 do. Baby champ, do 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 do. Baby champ, I don't care, do 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 do. I don't care, do 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 do. I don't care, do 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 do. I don't care about this fucking match. It was not going back and forth, because I respect this guy like immensely. So I wasn't really arguing with him about him, but it seemed, I was shocked, by the way, shocked to find out that Joe Hulbert of the Distraction is really excited for Riggler and Zood versus Ray and his stupid son. And I was like, I mean, okay, I guess. I mean, Riggler and Zood like have a really interesting, like old school thing about them as the heel champs. They're the closest thing that WWE has, like that old school deal they're doing over on AEW. So I get it. That's definitely very much Joe's aesthetic. And I like, I can respect Ray, but I have zero respect for Dominic, like none. Like you getting to your spot via nepotism is like dog shit. Like I don't like that at all. But Joe brought up a really good point, that he loves seeing young dipshit wrestlers, guys who are just totally naive and over their heads and somehow, you know, find a way to win or whatever. And I was like, I don't love the find a way to win thing. I don't think he even said that. I'm probably putting words in his mouth. But he brings up a good point. In WWE especially, you never see young dipshit wrestlers anymore, because everybody's got 6 years of experience on the indies. Or at worst, they were homegrown, training like 18 hours a day at the performance center, like making sure everything's crisp and clean and perfect, perfectly primed for television before they ever get in front of a camera in NXT. And then they're in NXT for a couple of years before they ever get brought up. Like the absolute, like, all the biggest, like, homegrown stuff, talents from WWE, people who were like show performance center and have never wrestled before. And like, you got to teach them all that kind of stuff. It's years before they're put in a position where they would even get on TV. And then they got to do that and excel at that before they get brought up to the main roster. And then if they're in a position to be, put the tag titles on them, then they actually have to have excelled at all of that stuff. Before, it was like, there's this guy, we like the look of him, we like his look, but put him on TV, see how he works with these guys, you know, Saturday Night's Main Event, some shit, you know, I don't even know, it wasn't even that, it was like, you know, lower than that, WCW Saturday Night, like that, something like that. Cut his teeth. Sometimes literally, if you took liberties with the guy you're working with, and that guy was Perry Saturn. I'm not saying Dominic is like Eric Watts or whatever the fuck his name was, who couldn't do a dropkick. Dominic obviously has the athletic ability, but like none of the polish, none. And it's jarring to watch. Like he can do, I say this all the time. He can do like three moves is not giving him credit. He can do five moves. He can do five moves. One of them is not the 619, which he does every time. He's bad at the 619. You know why? Because he's like 6'2", whatever the fuck he is. He's not a small guy. The reason the 619 works is because you can swing between the ropes really easily because you're small. You know who I see do the 619 well? Rey Mysterio and Io Shirai, who is somehow even smaller than Rey Mysterio. They do it really well because they can swing between the ropes with ease. Dominic, he has to slow down so much to get in between the ropes without clipping himself that there's no velocity to the swing around and kick. And like every time he opens his mouth, I just want to go, yikes. Yikes. This is all stuff that can be trained into you. Hey, kid, how about you don't do the 619? Here are some other moves you could learn and perfect and work on for months to perfect this move before you ever try it out on TV. Hey, kid, let's get you in a promo class. Let's drill out some stuff with you. Let's figure out the way that you speak. How do you... Because when I sit here and I talk to you and you're a regular person, you don't sound... like you're talking from down a well, because that's what the thing is for. He has zero confidence in anything that he says, none. Like he knows he's a terrible promo, and that's got to suck for him. That's too bad. But don't work all this shit out while you're on the main roster doing a tag title program with your dad. Nobody could possibly think that this guy, were he not Rey Mysterio's kid, would be anywhere near this spot. There are like no less than 50 wrestlers in the employ of WWE who deserve this spot based on what they can do in the ring and the story they can tell with their words and their aura. Based just on those things, they deserve this spot more than this guy. They do. And I hate nepotism. I hate it. It makes my skin crawl. So much of the shit that is wrong with this world is based on nepotism. Who your daddy was. And I fucking hate that. I don't care if it's even for good things. None of that shit should, I despise it. I fucking despise it. So, will it be super heartwarming when the Mysterios, when father and son win the tag titles on Sunday? Yeah, great. And let's get the Usos to beat the fuck out of them and become tag champs as soon as possible. Cool? Like, I don't mind doing the thing, like letting the kid put his dad on his shoulders and walk him around the ring. That's fine, you can raise your titles, and then like on the following SmackDown, could you lose them, please? Like, I want at maximum a 1 month reign for the Mysterios. Like, I'm just I can't anymore. That makes me such an asshole, and I have to be honest. That's what I feel about them. Poor Cesaro, man. They finally got him in a spot where he's got a one-on-one match for a world title in WWE. And they're like, we're going to make you a babyface. We're going to make people root for you so that, you know, when you lose to Roman Reigns, it's really going to get Roman a lot of heat. Let's make them root for you. How are we going to do that? Well, we're not going to rely on the fact that people have been pushing for Cesaro to be pushed for years now. We're not going to rely on the fact that the people who have been Cesaro fans, the people who held up Cesaro section signs, the people who've watched him for years and been like, this guy just deserves a real shot, a real opportunity. We're not going to rely on them to just like be your fans. We have to make fans out of thin air. How are we going to do that? I know. Let's have Cesaro cut a promo where he quotes the fucking little engine that could. Remember that? Remember that book from when you were five? There's a little engine. And he's pulling several train cars. And it's raining. And it's windy. It's cold. And he's got to get these train cars over the mountains they're filled with food or something. There's a starving village on the other side. And he's a little engine. And he doesn't know if he's got it in him to make it over the mountains. It's a big, big, tall, steep mountain. I don't know if I can pull all these things. But then he says to himself, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And as he's going up the mountain, he's chugging along, goes, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And finally, he gets to the top. And then as he's coming coasting down the mountain, he goes, I thought I could. I thought I could. I thought I could. I thought I could. I knew I could. I knew I could. I knew I could. I knew I could. And then he gets to the thing, and everybody's so happy because the little engine that could brought the food to the starving villagers, and everybody was just so happy. And you were five when the last time that you heard that story. So they basically made Cesaro into the little engine that could. Everybody in Switzerland would tell me, I would say, I have a dream. I want to go to WWE and become a wrestler one day. Like, completely discounting all of the years he spent on the indies impressing the fuck out of everybody except for Vince McMahon when he was Claudio Castagnoli. Like, putting aside the fact that he didn't, like, get off the boat from Switzerland to be like, golly gosh gee whiz, I can't wait to be a WWE superstar one day. How will I ever make it happen? No, you guys have been fucking wrestling for years before he came on your radar, and then you signed him and systematically fucked him over 15 fucking times. So he says, everyone went back to Switzerland telling me, I don't think you should do that. And he's like, I think I can. I don't think that you have what it takes to I don't think that you can go to WWE and become a champion. And I would tell them, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And then when I beat I don't think that I can beat Roman Reigns to win the New World title. I know I can. Oh, isn't that so great and heartwarming and fucking stupid? Cesaro is the biggest, like, he's the pound for pound, the strongest human being who's ever lived. Like, can't we do that? Like, I know, like, it was a stupid thing that you did on the SmackDown after WrestleMania, where you said the UFO was the single most impressive moment in the history of WrestleMania, or wrestling, or humanity, but... Yeah, a lot of the shit that he can do is really fucking impressive. Really impressive. Can we not rely on that to make people go, man, I really want to see that guy as champion? No, you got to make us go, oh, gee, this guy, what a rags to riches story. Fuck that bullshit, man. It's such a horrible bullshit trope that you don't know how to build baby faces without doing... So-and-so is an underdog fighting from the bottom, and somehow he's like, just let us root for the guy without like telling us we have to, you know? Fuck. So one thing that they are doing, they did well last night, was they had Bianca and Bayley stay the hell away from each other. Cole is interviewing Bianca in the middle of the ring. And Bianca's like, where's Bayley? I mean, what are you doing? And so it's like, I'm jawing you. It says, Bailey shows up on the Titantron. I'm via satellite. I'm long, far, far away from here. I wouldn't be caught in the ring anywhere near you since you attacked me last week. Of course, it was Bailey who attacked Bianca. But Bailey laughs at her, and Bianca says that I'm gonna give away the roughest, toughest, and quickest beating you ever get. And here's like, I don't want to stoop to your level and hurt your feelings, but I think the reason that you're mad is because you got thrown down the ramp by the Bella Twins at WrestleMania. You didn't even have a match. And I became SmackDown champ by beating Sasha Banks. So that's why you're mad. Because you're jealous. And Bailey like drops the facade, and she's very forthright, and she puts some bass in her voice. I like it. She cuts a little mini promo about how when I see you twirling your hair or whatever, it makes me sick and blah blah blah. It's good. It's decent. Remember last week how Baron Corbin got the pin in that big tag match, and he pinned Shinsuke Nakamura, and neither guy had been on TV in like forever. And it seemed really weird to give Corbin the pin, especially when you could have like given Sami Zayn the pin because he really needed it because he hasn't won a match since December and you're putting him in an Intercontinental title match. So maybe he needs it more than Baron Corbin does, but that's not what they did. So it turns out they weren't continuing a current story. They were starting a story with Corbin and Nakamura. Corbin has an inset promo. Blah, blah, blah. I could beat you wearing a suit or a $40,000 watch or my crown. I'll beat you any way that I'm dressed. It's a weird way of saying things. Corbin and Nakamura is whatever. It's whatever. Because it doesn't matter. They go into a I didn't see this ending, and I didn't see a replay either. I don't think they showed a replay. So Nakamura ends up with an arm bar and then transitions into a triangle. But Corbin powers up and does a power bomb, but Nakamura doesn't release the triangle, and then Corbin gets a pinfall. I didn't see how that ended, but it seemed kind of weird. So Corbin wins, right? The whole time they keep pushing this idea. Hey, he's King Corbin because he won King of the Ring. King of the Ring, 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 King of the Ring. They haven't brought up King of the Ring or the fact that that's why Corbin is cosplaying. They haven't brought that up in years. So they don't bring up something like that and hit you over the head with it a million times unless they're planning something. So Corbin wins, and then he picks up the his crown, puts it on, and then Nakamura starts beating him up. Nakamura hits him with the Kinshasa because he's definitely not a sore loser. Because you know, when you want to root for a guy, you love sore losers. Sore losers are the guys that I love. There's a certain WWE Hall of Famer who was a very famous sore loser. fucking guy. But anyway, when he hits the Kinshasa on Corbin, Corbin's crown falls off. And then Nakamura gets in the ring, and he's entranced by this crown because he's the king of strong style, don't you know? They keep bringing that up, king of strong style, which they haven't. They've called him the artist a lot more recently than they have called him king of strong style. So they're bringing that back. So then he does a really weak little kick to Corbin as he walks by him, which Corbin sells far too hard. And then Nakamura picks up the crown, but he does it in such a way that it looks like he's mocking the whole storyline. Like he's because Shin is so eccentric, I can't tell if this is just him being weird or him being like, this is fucking stupid and I hate it. I don't know. But he can barely lift the crown and he's trying to pick it up and put it over his head so he can put it on his head. And it looks like he's just saying like, this is fucking stupid. Look, this is so stupid. You want me to put a crown on my head? Fine. I'll put a crown on my head, but I'm going to do it in the dumbest fucking way possible. That might be what he was doing, because it sure looked like it. And so he steals Corbin's crown. And then later backstage, he's like looking in the mirror while wearing it. So they're definitely going to do a King of the Ring tournament. And it's almost positively going to come down to Shinsuke Nakamura versus Corbin for the King of the Ring tournament. I think it's almost entirely going to do it, and then they shouldn't. I think those two guys should cancel each other out. I think they should brawl so much that they, I don't know, get a double count out or something, and then the other person has a bye on the other side. What should happen is that if they're doing it just on SmackDown, which is, I wouldn't put it past them, to like get Roman his opponent for SummerSlam, because that's the way it used to be. When you won the King of the Ring tournament, that guaranteed you a title shot. So they should do it. It was always in June, so it's perfect timing to start this thing up. If it's got to be Roman who gets the title contender, then Big E should win this tournament. That's how you get Big E to face Roman for the title. And that could be how Big E becomes champion. I would love for that to happen. If it's a dual thing, and you got it, and like you got guys from Raw facing guys from Raw, and then the winner of Raw faces the winner of SmackDown, and then the winner of that match gets to pick either champion to go after. I think Damian Priest should win the tournament to go after Bobby Lashley. Or if somehow Keith Lee can get healthy or whatever, because the report out there that like Vince like lost faith in him or something apparently is not true, according to Sean Rossap. Or at least he hasn't heard anything like that. That it's still just him trying to get cleared. For whatever reason. If Keith Lee can get cleared, Keith Lee should win that fucking tournament. Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah. I don't know what they're gonna do though. I don't. I mean, I do know what they're going to do. They pretty much telegraphed it. It's going to be Shinsuke Nakamura versus Baron Corbin. But yeah. Yeah. So there's a... Aleister Black video. He's doing a really good job with these. There's another thing that he showed up on his Instagram that he had he lost a whole bunch of weight. Like he was a very depressed 217 pounds, which is heavy for him. And then He got down to 191, and now he's up to 196. And in the Instagram photo, he looks fantastic. Like, you could tell he was carrying a little bit extra weight before, but now he's like, it's great. And I have never wanted all the guys under the limit to be on the same brand so much in my life. Like, I need it. I need it. Somebody's like, because I need Aleister Black versus Kushida for the cruiserweight title, and I need that in my blood. I need it. Somebody said, well, I mean, I think that Aleister Black's actually above that, and I do too. Like, I had him in the co-main event of WrestleMania last year. I mean, booking way out ahead of time. My pitch had been to have Aleister Black be undefeated, running through everybody, and he gets noticed by The Fiend, who has never had a match since he beat Finn Balor, but he's always been around. So The Fiend versus Aleister Black would be The Fiend, who's this otherworldly thing, especially since Bray Wyatt in my world insisted that that The Fiend and he were not the same person. And then Aleister Black, who's undefeated, says only darkness can conquer darkness. So I'm going to go after him and get The Fiend. And he and the Fiend have a good match. And then it's built up for months and months, and then Aleister Black kicks the mask off The Fiend, and The Fiend like covers his mouth and just screaming in horror. Like, he's just in horrible pain that the mask has been kicked off of him. And the lights go out and they come back up, and there's a pin spot on the mask laying on the floor in the corner. And Aleister Black walks over, like he's entranced by it, picks it up, brings it up slowly to his face, and is about to put it on. When the lights go out again, they come back up, no Aleister Black, no Fiend mask, nothing. And I was like, I don't really know where I'm going to go from there, but I bet you're tuning into Raw to find out. Because I firmly believe you can do supernatural shit if you treat it with the right amount of gravity and don't shit all over it all the time. And if you create a bunch of rules and follow them, they can work. So I'm not sure what this Aleister Black thing is, because they keep referring to a dragon that he can change into a dragon, or there's some kind of demon that is backing him or whatever. Like, there's a supernatural forces behind him. So if they can figure out a way to make that not suck, and really stick to it, it could be really great. But I don't think these vignettes are working just yet. But I'm willing to allow them some more time to do it. Yeah. Anyway, Kayla interviews Jimmy. He wishes his first match back from injury was tagging with his brother, and he's upset about that. Let's see what happens with Cesaro. So Jimmy Uso over Cesaro is fun, and Jimmy's good. He's a very good wrestler. Cesaro is better. That's just the way it works sometimes. And there's some good stuff in it. And, you know, Cesaro was able to counter a lot of stuff. It's fun to watch Jimmy Uso and see how he's different than his brother, because you don't get to see them in singles action very often. At least you haven't seen Jimmy in singles action forever, but like to be able to, you didn't get to see them wrestle singles matches apart from each other until Jimmy Uso got hurt and Jay became this singles thing with Roman. So now we get to actually watch them do different stuff. I like it. So we don't get to see every day. That's good. Roman attacks Cesaro, which is again a WWE trope. Like I'm going to attack the I'm going to attack you because I don't like you, and I'm going to DQ. And now everybody gets to stay strong, which is true, I suppose. And in this case, it makes sense storyline wise. And everything they did after the DQ really works. But it's still a WWE trope. And if they didn't do it all the time, then when they did it this time, it would mean something. It would actually carry weight to it. It would mean more because the storyline required it. Except they do it all the time, so that it just looks like another time they do it. You know, interference and DQ. After the bell, Jimmy's pissed. Like I was gonna beat him. He storms away, and Reigns is following him, and they're arguing. It's like, this isn't about you. That's not about you. I had the match. I was winning the match. Like this is. This isn't about you either. This is blah, blah, blah. It's about a bigger thing, blah, blah, blah. So Jay's just in the ring going, hey, guys, can I come? Can I be part of your argument? And so Cesaro gets back in the ring, starts beating the piss out of Jay. And so Reigns makes the save. He takes out Cesaro. Get your ass in here and help. Because I like this because, like, we are arguing, but we are family. So you are on our side, I presume. Yes. Jay is like, come on, let's do this. So they're gonna beat up Cesaro by themselves. So Jay's able to make the save, get in the ring and help. Cesaro beats him up. Goes to work on him, but Reigns is able to get to the floor out of harm's way. And Jimmy gets knocked off the apron because he tries to help. But so Roman gets away. Jimmy is unconscious. He got hit with an uppercut or something. He's off the apron on the floor. And it's just Jay in the ring. And it's just Cesaro like doing like several neutralizers to Jey Uso just to piss off Roman Reigns. And I wish that we had gotten a chance to see Jay's reaction to that. Because there's so many different directions you can go with this. There's the prove that you love me more than you love your brother thing, where Jay is forced to, like, you know, do something terrible to Jimmy because Jimmy won't join. And either A, he does, like he hits a concerto or something, because that's a thing that they're doing now all the time. Not just Edge does concertos. Somebody else can do concertos too, because Roman did one to Daniel. So now it's a thing that just gets done on SmackDown. So he's like, Jay, you're going to do this to your brother. And Jay doesn't want to, but he does because he feels like he has to, or he doesn't, and that pisses off Roman even more. Jimmy versus Jay is a match that gets made. And while they're fighting for Roman's amusement, like if Jay beats Jimmy, Jimmy has to join. But if Jimmy beats Jay, then Jay isn't under Roman's power anymore. So they're beating the piss out of each other. And instead of either one winning, they stop fighting. and say, why are we doing this? And they decide to turn to Roman and say, we're out together. Without one having to beat the other one, they say, we're out together. And that's just the stuff that only involves them. There's a whole scenario where, like, Jimmy is trying to get through with Jay, but he can't. So he goes to, we end up having a scene backstage where it's him and Big E have a conversation. And Big E's a former friend and rival to a respected rival, because the New Day and the Usos have a history so rich that them forfeiting their spot in the gauntlet match with Kofi and E is why with Xavier and E is why Kofi got a chance to go to Mania and beat Daniel Bryan. Like, that was an amazing moment where the Usos E and Xavier had to win a gauntlet match with a bunch of tag teams. If they lost, then Kofi was out of the main event of WrestleMania versus Bryan. But if they won, then he was in. And the Usos, like, forfeited their spot so that Big E and Xavier could continue, because they wanted to see Kofi get his moment too. What an amazing moment. So that is a history that you can draw on. I don't know if they will, but they can. And then Big E can get involved, and it can lead to a tag match, Jimmy and Big E versus Jay and Roman. And that tag match, or whatever happens within it, can lead to Big E versus Roman for the Universal title. Which I feel like, to me, that's the way you gotta go. You have to build the right guy to beat Roman, to take that title off of Roman. It has to be the exact right guy. And I think that guy should be, can be, hopefully will be, Big E. There's so many great opportunities for them, so many awesome ways for them to go. But apparently all that's been, spoiled by the fact that each guy has a shirt that says nobody's bitch. Jesus. So, backlash prediction. Quickly. Roman's going to beat Cesaro. It'll be a really great match. Roman's going to beat Cesaro. It might be that Jimmy interferes on behalf of Cesaro, but Jimmy stops him, but Jay stops him from helping Cesaro. There's a lot of really cool stuff you can do with the Usos involved in this match. That's probably going to be, I would think, your main event. Bianca's going to beat Bayley. Should be a good match. And yes, Rey and Dominic are probably going to beat Riggler and Zood. How heartwarming. And then over on Raw, triple threat match. I can't see Bobby Lashley losing that title. I really can't. I just can't. Not with the way they've booked everything. And Braun's definitely not winning because of what they did with him at the end of Raw on Monday. I don't think it's Drew's time to get the title back. But they may be setting up something already. So it could be that Jinder costs Drew the title, because they want to set up that Drew versus Jinder thing in a way that, like, immediately gets Drew's attention over to Jinder. That might be something they want to try and do. Gosh, I don't know. I don't know if I like that. Again, I'm just trying to think like Vince here, the way he does things. This is a prediction show, not a who I want to win show. Or not show, segment. And then Rhea, Charlotte, and Asuka, like, I could see them doing the Charlotte thing, just fucking over Rhea one more time. Now, I think there's a way to do that to make it work, but you have to build Rhea in a way to get that title back. You have to build her better than you've been building her, that's for sure. Asuka's not winning the title. It's either Rhea retaining or Charlotte winning and fucking over Rhea one more time, because they love doing it to Rhea. They love to fuck over Rhea, don't they? They sure do. Okay. And then Priest is going to beat Miz. Why is that on a pay-per-view? Why is that not just on a Raw? Why is that not somewhere mired in the second hour of a random Raw episode? I don't need to see that on a pay-per-view. Nobody does. So there's that. Okay, if anybody wants to get out now, go ahead. I'm not talking about wrestling anymore. Not really. Sami Zayn, who is Muslim, of Syrian descent, Canadian, but of Syrian descent, tweeted out some stuff about the horrible atrocities that are going on in the Gaza Strip right now in Israel. Israel is it's an apartheid nation with the Palestinians confined to certain areas, an open air prison, and they can't go anywhere and they can't do anything. They're not allowed to intermarry. It's just terrible. Anyway, so the Israeli government loves to steal people's homes and just, you know, because they can. And they say it's for an archaeological reason or something, for military, whatever. And so they're like, you have to give us your homes. And then the thing that's supposed to happen, like the archaeological thing, never actually, there's no dig that happens. They just take the land and the home, and then they give it to Israeli, Jewish settlers who move in. So they tried to do that with 8 families in East Jerusalem, which is it's an occupied space. It's not, according to the UN Human Rights Council or whatever it's called, I'm blanking on the name right now, like, you're not allowed to do this, Israel. And the only reason that Israel gets away with it is because our government, the US government, says, yeah, it's fine. They can do whatever they want. And so that's why they're doing it. Anyway, so that blew up and went crazy. Long story short, now Israel is using our bombs that we gave them, sold them, and our planes that we gave them, sold them, to blow up buildings. That they say that the buildings house terrorists, but they don't. And it's a kind of a horrible atrocity. Like, children, just dozens of children have been murdered. And Sami Zayn rightfully speaks up against this, and on Twitter, under his own name, under his WWE name, Sami Zayn is like speaking some really harsh truths that need to be said. And then, you know, Zionists from Israel are coming out with things saying, hey, WWE, hey, Fox, hey, USA, Universal, how do you feel about this guy saying all this stuff? Because, you know, the common belief among very high important people is that Israel can do nothing wrong because the Palestinians are a bunch of terrorists, which of course is a fucking lie and propaganda spread by the Israeli government. So they basically got him shut down. Like, he had to delete all the tweets that he sent out. Because WWE or Fox or USA or all of them are a bunch of fucking cowards. And I feel really bad for Sammy because, you know, he's got to watch and see, his father's homeland of Syria just be destroyed. And then this and more of this, and it's all out there on social media. You can find it. It's hard, because they're trying to squash a lot of it. Like, Facebook isn't letting anything get out. Twitter is, at least, for now. There's an interview with a 10-year-old girl who's standing in front of the rubble that used to be her house, because what they do is they'll call your phone and say, you have 1 minute to get out of your home because we're going to bomb it. And then they hang up and then you got to go. There's no time to like get anything, any of your belongings. You have to leave, and they bomb your house because it's a don't you know it's a Hamas recruiting center or something. Of course it fucking isn't. It's your fucking house. It's just terrorism. And there's a 10-year-old girl like saying, "What am I supposed to do about this? Am I supposed to fix it? I'm 10 years old. I want to be a doctor or something, but I can't do that now. I'm 10. She keeps repeating, "I'm 10. Sweet little girl who's 10 years old who had her whole fucking world shattered. She's, "Why do you do this to us? My family says they hate us because we're Muslims. That can't be right. That can't be, that, what did we do? That can't be it. That can't be all it is." I don't know. It sure seems like that's all it is. I mean, Hamas is shooting rockets back at Israel, and they've killed some people, and that's not good either. Like, don't do that. The entire UN Security Council said, "We're going to ask for a ceasefire, so at least we can have some kind of diplomatic solution here and figure out what we're going to do about it." I say the entire UN Security Council, except for one, the United States, which has veto power over the rest of the Security Council, which seems like it shouldn't. Like, if it's 14 to 1, like, that's it. Like, I don't care who the one is. That's some bullshit. And, of course, our government is firmly entrenched on the side of the Israelis. And so I have been just near tears following this stuff all the time. And so it's this is something that people have asked me. Some people, not everybody. Some people have asked me to like do more stuff along to talk about more of this kind of stuff on Sour Graps. I say I don't wanna, because I don't know what's gonna be like for my brain. This is why I'm trying to find this poem that I read, and I want to read it before I sign off for the night, because I feel like there's just something we can't turn away. Like, as people, as human, fellow human beings, we can't turn away. There's a poem that is entitled "Running Orders." This is what I talk about, where they call you up and tell you have to leave. Or they blew up today the Gaza offices of the Associated Press, which also houses Al Jazeera News Network. This is where all of the reporting is being done to say, this is what's happening in Gaza. Here are the pictures that are getting out from the hospitals, the reports of what's going on, what's really going on, because the Israeli military, the IDF, they lie. So this is the people who are here. So all of their offices were bombed into oblivion. So there's no way for them to really report, because they weren't allowed to take anything when they left. So all their equipment's just been under a pile of rubble. They do this so there's no chance of what's going to happen next getting out. That's what they're trying to do. But they did that too. They were like, "Okay, everybody get out of your business." And they say they're also, the Hamas offices are in there. The weird thing about it is Hamas is also the government of Palestine. So they also run all the other things. So like, if there's a water treatment plant, well, that's a Hamas installation. We could bomb that. That's fine. That's not a war crime because it's Hamas. It's very, very complicated. Going back, not just to the formation of Israel in 48, 47, 48, but like obviously thousands of years. It's a very complicated thing, but right now it's not complicated. Right now you have one small group of people that are occupied by another government, which is destroying them. That's not complicated to me. I'm going to read this poem, and I'm trying to hold it together. This has been Sour Graps, and I've been Alex Pulaski, and I'm going to read this poem. It's called Running Orders by Lena Khalaf Hafa. They call us now before they drop the bombs. The phone rings, and someone who knows my first name calls and says, in perfect Arabic, "This is David." And in my stupor of sonic booms and glass-shattering symphonies still smashing around in my head, I think, do I know any Davids in Gaza? They call us now to say, run. You have 58 seconds from the end of this message. Your house is next. They think of it as some kind of wartime courtesy. It doesn't matter that there is nowhere to run to. It means nothing that the borders are closed and your papers are worthless and mark you only for a life sentence in this prison by the sea, and the alleyways are narrow, and there are more human lives packed one against the other more than any other place on earth. Just run. We aren't trying to kill you. It doesn't matter that you can't call us back to tell us the people we claim to want aren't in your house, that there's no one here except you and your children sharing the last loaf of bread for this week, counting candles left in case the power goes out. It doesn't matter that you have children. You live in the wrong place, and now is your chance to run to nowhere. It doesn't matter that 58 seconds isn't long enough to find your wedding album, your son's favorite blanket, or your daughter's almost completed college application, or your shoes, or to gather everyone in the house. It doesn't matter what you had planned. It doesn't matter who you are. Prove you're human. Prove you stand on two legs. Run. That shit is happening. Half a world away from where I am right now. My tax dollars paid for the bombs that killed children. I try not to be a cynic. I try not to be a pessimist or to get too down about the world, shit I can't control. But tonight, it's not a tongue-in-cheek, lightly sarcastic catchphrase. Tonight, it's the absolute fucking truth. Tonight, everything sucks.